Hi, this is Dick Giblet calling again, president of the Destroyer 666 Fan Club and accessory committee of Fan Action. I'll tell you, while combing through your pile of fake news so I could find something to be mad about, I discovered a deliberate attempt to impersonate and slander my name on your last podcast, insinuating that I hate Mexicans. Well, I'll have you know that me and my wife, Hatsune Miku, visit the goddang Taco Bell down by the airport several times a week, and we love all the hard-working, legal Mexicans. I tell you what, like the God Emperor Trump said himself, we're going to have to open up those goddang libel laws on your goddang asses.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Hoo yeah! It's your boy, Joe Thrashenkill, here with another flaming hot episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm joined by my good friends and yours, 365 Days of Horror. Say hi, 365.
Hey!
And our good buddy, Wizard.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. Try it again. Give me one more. Good. Perfect. Excellent. Yeah. I miss you guys.
Not it's me. 2018, Chris Barnes, because you sound like you're really out of breath.
Well, it's almost like smoking a brick of weed a day isn't good for your throat. Oh, I'm sorry. It's all natural, though. It's fine.
Have you guys gotten a load of their like shitty B-sides album they put out?
Which one? They're all shitty.
The latest shitty B-side album.
The latest shitty B-sides. The
one that has... No, I'm a purist. I only listen to Graveyard Classics albums.
I've only listened to one song. They had a lyric video for it, and it was like really bad, even for lyric videos. And I think some of the lyrics were wrong on it too.
Oh did yeah, they had like typos in it. Yeah.
They like did they have the album cover just gooey and animated and moving around and zooming in on random parts of the album cover? Because that's cool.
That would have been better. This had like. Not animation, but, like, I don't know where they got this from. It was, like, little cartoon pictures, but it wasn't album art. Album art would have been much better.
Was it cartoon pictures, like, from a Goofy movie or something?
I wish.
Damn, bitch. You live like this? Well, let's talk about, what are the kids getting up to on the internet?
Well, you know, the little Twitter box that we all seem to hate but can't stop posting on because we need those retweets and likes. I need them so badly. Please so give them badly. To me.
I need just like a millisecond's worth of validation for whatever dumb shit is gumming up my brain. Please help.
Please give me the blue check mark so when I say something dumb, lots of people can retweet it instead of now when I don't have the blue check mark and it just gets a couple and I feel sad.
All right, straight up, I want that blue check mark because I like reply to somebody and tell them to like, you know, stick their own face up their own asshole, I get banned for 24 hours, and that's just not fair. If you have the blue check mark, you don't get that.
Right. If you have the blue check mark, you can, say something about how the horrible, tragic deaths from gun violence of little children is not a hoax. You can say shit all you want if you got a blue check mark. You can probably take Elon Musk's name too. If you're
so speaking of blue check marks, Keith Buckley of Every Time I Die actually has one, and he recently tweeted on a personal note, with over 500,000 tickets sold to Warped Tour this year, I didn't see a single MAGA hat, and I looked. Say what you will about the bands playing, you can't deny that the kids of summer are going to be okay. And this led to someone replying with, I used to really be into Every Time I Die, but your anti-Trump snot-nose rhetoric has really turned me off. Thanks for alienating half your fan base, dick. And yeah. Keith Buckley responded with, we don't need or even want your money. Take a hike. And it went on further from there.
Yeah, that's I saw that making the round like across the blogosphere and such. Metal Sucks wrote about it, so I looked at the comments just to, you know.
Yeah. To torture yourself?
Yeah, every time that I'm on the fence about something in life, if I've got a big question about about where I should turn to. I like to look to the Metal Sucks comments and just verify that I'm on the right path.
The good book known as the Metal Sucks comments.
Yeah.
At the last tweet, he said the last sentence was smash Nazis at every turn. And it, as of right now, it has over 24,000 likes.
That's a lot. I think
that's a lot.
I think that's more than I've ever gotten.
Yeah, too bad it's only half the likes he would have gotten otherwise, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true. When you you make everything about politics, you're automatically alienating, you know, 50% of your audience of people that's into scuzzy youth oriented culture. You know, that skews way conservative.
Right. Just a solid 50%.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead on a limb and say that estimate's a bit high.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying we got to hear both sides, libtard. So that's cool. I'm not a huge fan of Every Time I Die's music, but the dudes in the band seem pretty cool. Keith seems like a really funny person, and I forget the name of the guitarist, the big
Andy Williams
dude. Yeah, that dude. Yeah, that wrestler. Ass. Yeah.
Yeah, pro wrestler, also a big hunk of man that should have won you guys' fucking thing you did, the sexiest dude in metal, should have won. I stand for Andy.
I voted for that big slice of beefcake, but it didn't pan out.
Yeah, you all picked a corpse over him, right?
No, I'm pretty sure the winner was Doug Moore of Puron.
Well, no, I think Andy was going to go up against him, right? Oh. And then... it was Peter Steele who, with the runner-up, went up against Doug Moore. And then since Peter Steele made it to the end, everybody was like, we should probably pick the guy that we can actually fuck without doing any digging. So,
well, I mean, if Andy Williams just would have hung dong beforehand, maybe he would have stood a chance against Peter Steele.
Come on the show, Andy. Show your rules.
But I digress. There was some other fella in extreme music that had something to say about this. Who was it again, Jordan?
It was the vocalist for Norma Jean, and I have a challenge for both of you.
Okay,
what's the vocalist's name from Norma Jean?
Dylan Caleb.
Aiden,
it could be
Aiden Jordan.
Jordan Aiden.
Hey. Kyle. So his name is Corey Brandon.
And if we were you close.
Put a gun to my head, I would never have gotten that. But of course, that name fits perfectly in with a Norma Jean or Norma Jean type band. But he had to have his own little response, not directly responding to Keith, by the way, having his own post.
Is it subtweeting is what the kids would call it.
Mm-hmm. So just kind of saying your own thing but clearly referencing something else.
Yeah.
Not even like retweeting but putting your own comment above it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like when I'm like I've seen a lot of talk from the haters who will be unnamed, y'all think I've got garbage dick. Well, it's not true.
One time I said something because I saw a billion comments and one guy thought I subtweeted him, just one specific obsessed guy. And he way got into it with me because he was he thought I personally went after him, and then he went on his Twitter and he fucking subtweeted about how I subtweeted him.
I love just this petty fucking nonsense. It keeps me going, really.
Sure does, man. Hey, Jordan, do you have what he said? Do we have that down somewhere?
Oh, I have that.
Oh, let's. What do you say?
So Corey Brandan, Brandan,
yeah,
said, I don't give a shit who comes to our shows. Hashtag MAGA hats, welcome. Hillary shirts, welcome. Gay pride flags, pentagrams, upside down crosses. Crosses, question mark? Duck Dynasty shirts, IDK, all that crap. Bring all the offensive things.
So,
fucking comedic genius right there.
I guess number one, like, all of the offensive things were including gay flag. Gay pride flags?
That's right. Wasn't Norma Jean Christian metalcore?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that would make sense.
So, yeah.
You know, I think that he was trying to make some kind of play for inclusion here, but it just reads as like some piss pants dude that just really needs anybody to go to his show.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing with what Keith said. It was like anti-Nazi, really. I mean, he mentioned MAGA, but it ended with like smash Nazis. And his response is, here are all these other things that aren't Nazis, that aren't anywhere near as bad as Nazis. But it's kind of like putting it all in like one big basket for him to say, yeah, it's all good. Come on down to our show. Please buy a shirt.
Yeah, that's right. I'm saying that our show is an inclusive space. Come on down, rapists, thieves, people that rehabilitate baby ducks. You're all welcome.
Right. People who make duck whistles on a television program. Come on down and help me out. And the funny, the most notable thing was, and people were screenshotting him and reminding him of this, like in the immediate comments, like the first few comments were like showing the tweet that, you know, Keith Buckley did with, like, what was it, 24,000 likes. And then you got Caleb McCaleb, or whatever his name is, with 22 likes. That was it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think everybody that I follow on Twitter dunked on him for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had to. And then he couldn't leave well enough alone because he had to follow up with tweets like, uh-oh, thought police are out. Yeah. Turn off your porch lights. Whenever someone says thought police, you know you're not going to have any sort of constructive conversation.
I see the thought police are at it again. They're coming after me just because I suggested that Toad is actually a slave in the Mushroom Kingdom.
You can't change thoughts. Okay? You can only change actions. You're just chasing ghosts if you change thoughts. And therefore, that's why the left is always wrong.
Have any of you guys ever listened to Norma Jean?
Yes, I have listened to.
What was that experience like?
So, they had this one song where it's like humans. You just told me the number, but I forget. It was like Human Zero, Robots Three, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like
or
that.
Or is it Robots 3, Human Zero?
Yeah, that's one. That's one.
It was kind of like their big metalcore single back in the day where they had the music video where there's like paper flying everywhere while Jordan Peterson or whatever his name is just like, it's exactly what you think it is. And then some. Lots of plaid shirts, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah, I know what you mean. The plaid shirt was a phenomenon in metalcore that came towards the end of the 2000s. Towards the middle was the undersized black t-shirt.
Yeah, but I think there were some plaid shirts in this video. Like
there was also ties.
Ties,
just putting it.
Everybody's ripping off Avril Lavigne.
That's right.
Why you gotta make things so complicated?
Mm. That's right. That was actually, I think it was Ashley Simpson. Well,
no, that was definitely, actually, that was Avril Lavigne.
All right, I'm Googling it right now because, God damn it.
You're going to be wrong.
I'm wrong.
Tune into this show to get the best in, like, mid-2000s pop references. That's so right. You got to get it right.
I mean, y'all, if you want to hear people make references to something more recent, listen to younger people. Right. This is all I got to work with.
I'm happy for you though. Like I'm surprised pleasantly, because usually what would happen is if I got the Avril Lavigne trivia wrong, even though I wanted to get it right, I would then be like, why would I know about Avril Lavigne? You guys seem to be the experts here. Okay, you big fans. Okay, I don't even care. Why would I care? Why would I know?
The last thing I heard about Avril, I guess there was about a 6 month period where the big things happening on the Avril front. One, I heard this compelling conspiracy theory that there have been multiple Avril Lavigne's akin to multiple Andrews W's K's. That's the one. Yeah. She also did that like super racist Hello Kitty video.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then married Chad Kroeger of Nickelback. So
not necessarily in that order.
Yeah, I'm not sure what order that was. Avril, I'm sure you're listening. Call into the show sometime. We'll hash it out. We'll get to the bottom of all of this.
Figure this all out.
Did you guys ever watch Friday Night Lights, the television show?
No.
It's surprisingly good, at least for the first several seasons. One of the characters, Landry in Friday Night Lights, he was Todd in Breaking Bad, the guy with the giant face. He has a band called Crucifictorious, and there's a great scene where they're playing like in front of two people in some dance hall, just like. Early 2000s metalcore like Norma Jean. They did their research on that.
Nice.
So what's Norma Jean gonna do now that they have the newfound acclaim?
Well, it's gonna be they're gonna be the band that gets booked for Unite the Right from here on out. I assume, you know, you gotta get those gotta get them validation bucks like we talked about.
Yeah. It's not a bad gimmick. The Christian metalcore band going like hard right. There could be a built-in audience for that. Like, you know, the Patriot Prayer Weekend was this last weekend. As far as I could tell, that attracted 14 people.
Nice.
They were 88 short. So it's not a huge audience, but it's a dedicated audience. So there's, you know, it's better than what you got currently going on.
Very true.
But speaking
Motion of for Christ.
Speaking of gimmicks.
No, wait, we can't get into that first. Because there was one more thing that happened involved with this, and it got no attention, but I love it anyway.
Go for it.
The band Extinction AD, it's like sub tweeted all of this to Norma Jean. And the tweet was, "How can we organize a fight with these twerps? Let's even take the politics out of it. Smashing these cowards would be fun as hell. I'm sure they have a corny merch guy too. He can join their team." I mean, it only got like 8 likes, and I know they're not really well known, but I saw it and I really appreciated it.
I appreciate the dedication to lack of subtlety.
Yeah. Let's just fight. Simple as that. We're already doing the high school thing. Let's just fight.
Yeah.
That seems to be the answer. What does the merch guy got anything to do with this? Leave him alone. He's doing the best. The
merch guy's a collaborator.
Yeah, who doesn't have a corny merch guy?
We should have one.
Yeah, we need to get one.
Every time that we're recording this in our three separate houses, we should have dudes outside our front door selling t-shirts.
Yeah.
I think handwritten tip signs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the way. Gotta put out the tip jar. So, you know, if people don't want to pay 10, 15, 20 bucks for a shirt, but they like your band, you go up, you give them a little fiver.
Yeah.
Say thanks for coming, buddy.
Let's go ahead and jump into the main subject of this week, and that I think all independently did some thinking about this, and it's in the collective consciousness at the moment. It's getting around. We're all sharing similar wavelengths, all of us, you listener included. And that is, there are gimmicks afoot. Now, have you seen any of this? Have you heard any of this? Are you aware of any new gimmicky bands?
Slipknot.
I mean, like, sure. Not really, though. That was like 19 years. You're like 19 years too late on that one. But
So when you say recent.
Yeah.
You don't mean like after 1982.
Well, I mean, like, if you think about it holistically, human civilization is just a blip on a long, long timeline.
Right.
So we're closer to, like, you know, the pyramids being built and Slipknot being a new band than, say, when Megalosaurus, or one of those fake made-up dinosaur bones things stalked the Earth.
Birdie Boris against Mega Octopus.
That's right. But yeah, a little more recent than that.
All right, let's think.
If we're on the temple,
so like the past week and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Mudvayne.
You know, how about why don't you take a breather on this one, Jordan?
All right.
Have you seen anything?
So the band of the week and a half that came out of nowhere and has just signed to Prosthetic Freaking Records is Neckbeard Death Camp.
Yeah, man. When that was first released, I think it was the fella from the Death Sentence podcast. He might have been the one to break that on Twitter, at least, and that got around like wildfire. And he played a song from that on that episode I did with them where we read that horrible book. And then since then, like, it's just been everywhere. They put up new merch and it sells out immediately. I bought a cassette tape just out of solidarity. I think their gimmick is extremely funny. And you know, if you're listening to this and if you're not familiar, can you explain what it is, Jordan?
So it's basically kind of taking the NSBM, all the tropes, and kind of turning it on its head. And really goofing and slamming on these, you know, black metal Nazi dorks. Like with their album, it's called White Nationalism is for Basement Dwelling Losers. And their symbol is like the Iron Eagle and with a sad Pepe where the swastika would be. And it's just goofing on all these internet Nazis, basically.
Yeah, and I think that we would be considered comrades in that endeavor, considering we've spent literal years of our lives devoted to that very cause. So I think that their shtick, it's good. They've got it's funny, which is the most important thing. They've got good graphic design, which is good too. The music is not unlistenable. You know, it's a clean recording for black metal. It wasn't just, you know, kind of tossed together.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super memorable, but I mean, you know, you get what you can get. And since they released that, let's see, less than a month ago, it has blown the fuck up and it resulted in them getting signed to Prosthetic Records, as you said. That's incredible.
It is, and I say that with a, admittedly, a little bit of jealousy.
Well, I think that you're not alone on that. I think every musician that I've talked to is not just a little bit jealous. I don't blame them, man. Like, it's a very rare thing to come out of nowhere and just blow up.
And I think it's also, even like with this show and what we write and even just on Twitter and Facebook, we kind of make similar jokes that, you know, people seem to enjoy or think are funny. Just to see other people do similar things and to find massive success in such a short amount of time. It's just like, oh, well, we've been messing around too long. We missed our chance. It's too late now.
Yeah, I would rather, I guess, than get the validation and all the money and all the good stuff that comes with that, know that like there is a sea change coming and that these doughy fucking fascists are just going to get washed by everybody coming along. That's what we're all hoping for. It does burn a little bit to not get, like, you know, dap of your own, though.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think we, if we do kind of try for that level of success, then what we do is we do the mushroom head thing where we come out and we're just like, who's Slipknot? We didn't even know there was a Slipknot. What are you guys talking about? We've been doing it forever. We've been doing it for decades. And now all of a sudden we're the Slipknot knockoff band. I don't think so, buddy. We can pull that shit here too.
Sidebar, are we going to have, we talked about having somebody from Mushroom Head on the show. Is that going to happen?
It is entirely possible. We have to put it together, so stay tuned.
We're going to have to ask those quite hard questions. What do they think of Neckbeard Death Camp?
I bought the cassette, you know, mostly out of solidarity, because I think that, you know, it's good and nice and funny that there is a you know, funny, vehemently anti-fascist joke black metal band. the music is okay. My favorite track is the outro, which is just kind of a noise track. It's called The Fetishization of Asian Women Despite a Demand for a Pure White Race.
That's pretty devastating.
Yeah.
It's kind of cruel.
And it's just like this woman speaking over like this instrumental. It's just like, you're a fucking poser. You're a fucking poser. So wow. That's fun.
But I mean, like, you're not going to give it multiple spins, you don't think? You don't think this is going to be one of your top 10 for 2018?
No, I think most likely it'll sit in my rack of cassettes. But, I mean, that's fine. It's whatever. They don't have to be top 10s.
Hmm. Well, that's the thing there, isn't it? I mean, you got guys who got something good, something quick and easy that really hits. It's like if you get a viral tweet or something. You know, you could be just some regular Joe Schmo with 500 followers, don't even need a blue check mark, but you just say something just right, you word it just correctly enough, and you get just enough of a general chuckle out of the masses that you get fucking blown up and you get a billion retweets. And the next thing you know, you got 620 followers, but that's it.
Yeah, and then you reply to your viral tweet with, hey, y'all, while you're here, be sure to check out my SoundCloud.
Be sure to check out my Bandcamp for Neckbeard Death Camp.
And then you post your regular stuff and you lose all those new followers you got.
Yep.
And it's hilarious how some stupid, lame-ass joke that you made will get 40 billion retweets, but the moment you're like, hey guys, this is my band, this is my actual content that I work very hard on, 2 likes, maybe.
So I think that Neckbeard Death Camp is probably like the big wave that is sparking off what you're going to see a lot more of, which is jokey leftist black metal bands.
And we also had Anal Trump. That came out.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about
that. A year
or
two ago. Yeah, that's the thing, is they come out, there's a little bit of buzz, and then that's kind of it. I think part of the problem is there really isn't the music to back it up.
Right. That's the reaction you get, is Joe goes, oh, yeah. You know, that's how you're going to react to bands like this in a month or two, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, you do have, like, plenty, so many, like, real leftist extreme music acts that write music that is, you know, I would consider real, you know, I was going to say something like timeless, but I mean, again,
genuine.
In the timeline of men, we are nothing. Yeah, genuine music.
Slipknot.
Like Dawn Raid is good. I'll always go back to, like, you know, Crustpunk, you know, some of my favorite material comes from like Tragedy and His Hero Is Gone and shit like that. So that's legit anarcho crust punk, you know.
If you really want like great feminist angled, I mean, it's kind of in the black metal vein. I don't know, you'd have to listen to it and check it out for yourself, but Svalbard from the UK.
Yeah, we played a Svalbard track on this show. I don't know how, there's too many episodes, not that long ago though.
Not that long ago. Yeah. I remember that. And but I mean, if anyone's listening in and, you know, didn't recall, they're a great band. I really like their music, and you know, it's lyrically very mature, you know. So
And it's like real adult shit too, like,
sure,
like pain of like trying to work a job, like with just all this shit raining down on you all the time. Like, that's relatable stuff
for sure. So there's stuff out there like this that might not get the recognition that some hilarious meme band might get all of a sudden.
This just came across my feed. It's a band called Gaylord, and the album is called "The Black Metal Scene Needs to Be Destroyed." They got a track here. Odin doesn't listen to NSBM, you inbred alt-right shitheel.
No way, man. He probably listens to like a wooden flute.
I don't know. What did the Vikings listen to? They probably had, you know, beer drinking chants and stuff like that, right?
It's probably like the intro track to like Ulver's really old music.
Yeah. The only thing I can picture, and of course I don't know anything about Norse culture, and nor will I ever learn. I like ignorance. It's just, I'm imagining them like blowing into one of those big shells. That's all I've got.
A conch?
Yeah, yeah.
Or a ram's horn?
Yeah, that too. The shofar, yeah, which is definitely not Norse.
I'm pretty sure if you tried to play like Ensiferum for like a Viking that you found frozen in the ice or something, they'd be like, what the fuck is this?
No, they'd stab you to death for fucking witchcraft because everybody believed that everything was the machination of some trickster god and you had to murder it to be safe from it.
I don't know, man. I feel like the old boys love the witchcraft stuff. I think that's more of a Christian way of feeling.
Well, I didn't realize I was talking to Varg Vikernes over here.
Yeah, you got to watch out for that stuff, man. I take that shit real serious.
But yeah, man, like when we were discussing gimmicks, like it all came flooding back to me. It was just like, boom, boom, boom. Remember this shit that was, you know, real popular for literally 12 hours and this shit that got around on the Blast Beat Network? Like, yeah,
Lordy.
Well, Lordy is, that's, that one's had some staying power.
Guardy,
yeah. My lady watched some shitty movie that they made that we should probably watch for an episode.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there was a Dark Towers, Dark Room, something like that.
It sounded like a real piece of shit, which means that it would be fucking awesome for us.
Just like their music.
Yeah. So. What was their deal? They were on Finland's Got Talent or
Eurovision.
Eurovision.
Yeah, they won Eurovision mostly through the power of wearing Gwar ripoff costumes. People went, "Oh, this is fun," and then they heard some of their music and went, "I'm good."
Hard pass.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've done pretty well for themselves, considering. I guess I don't know anything about Eurovision. I know that people go wait for it, but I'm an American, so I'd like to think that it's got to be similar to American Idol, right?
I think it's like a big freak show where bands from all over the world get together and just compete. Like, I've seen some clips over the years from Eurovision, and there is some weird shit that they let on TV.
I just assume it's like American Idol because all TV is a formula. Like you put the freaks on like at the beginning so you can make fun of some poor bastard that literally has nothing to his name and just wants to be like appreciated and famous for 1 second, and then everybody takes a big shit on him. And then you have like the winners of the first couple of competitions actually have success, and then everybody else is just thrown in the dustbin of history.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
I wonder if there's like an American Idol gag reel, or maybe they could do an entire new series where you have the people that show up to be ridiculous on purpose and they're looking for their next ridiculous idol.
Yeah, it can be like I wonder how many like shitty Hot Topic metalcore dudes show up every year like just so that they can try to blow the squares minds by like doing some harsh vocals.
Yeah, there's a guy who did like Die My Darling, and he did it real bad, but they put him on because he was like, you know, a great freak show segment, but he was terrible. He like yelled Die Die My Darling way too hard. He was like swinging his hand around like a maniac when he did it.
Yeah, you gotta croon it like Elvis.
Right, but he crooned the verse, well, not the verse, but like the middle part, okay. You know, he just couldn't quite get it on that main hook, you know?
Yeah, even the Misfits are a gimmick band.
That's true. I mean,
horror punk, one of the original horror punk bands that have really embraced and since like they kind of came back in the 90s, they went full on like horror stuff. And I mean, I love it. I love the Misfits. I love all that stuff. No. So it works for them. But I think they do have, they have the history, but they also have the songs to back it up.
That's true.
That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, everybody loves like Where Eagles Dare. You know, that's something that you put on at the bar, and everyone's like, "Fuck yeah!" It's got the hooks. It's got the good chord progression. But you know, not every gimmick band can pull that. I was thinking about what else was going on through the years, and it was like Grindmother.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. O'Killy Do'Killy,
oh,
which was that Flanders-based death metal band.
Fuck. Yeah. Now, the worst the worst shit. That is the, and I, as someone who loves metal and The Simpsons, is the fucking abomination.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, the worst part about Oakley Doakley was all the fucking normies, like, throughout my life, like in Facebook and stuff, like, hey, Brendan, you like metal. Have you heard of it? Have you heard about Oakley Doakley? I can't. Well, it's like, give me a fucking break, man. Please, please shut up.
That happens a couple of times a year, I think, for just about everyone who likes metal.
Yep.
Something is weird or breaks out into the mainstream just enough where non-metal listeners find out about it, and then they have to tell you about it, even though you've known about it for months.
Right, and I should be flattered that they remembered me, but
it's just annoying.
I'm so insulted.
There was like a Puig Destroyer. I don't know how you say it. Yasiel Puig.
Yasiel Puig from the Dodgers.
Yeah, there's Puig Destroyer. Which was completely flavorless. There was nothing to it. what else was there was Sock Web. That was pretty tragic, actually. What else do you guys remember?
Moto Grader.
yeah,
I mean, they had multiple gimmicks. They all painted themselves up. And they had their own made-up instrument, so they had double gimmicks.
What was that the band we were talking about on the hoax episode that claimed that they had the steel harp, or no, the diesel harp? They ripped off all their songs from another black metal band.
Oh, yeah. Nah. I don't remember the name, but I know what you're talking about. Go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What the fuck happened to Fintroll? Anybody know? They haven't done anything in a long time.
That's the, what was the Aqua Teen Hunger Force episode where Carl's really into this band that's it's about trolls stacking themselves into towers.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure it was about Fintroll. Anyway.
I mean, I loved that show and I loved Fintroll back in the day, but I don't even, I gotta go back and I'm missing something clearly, so.
Where are they now, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I think their last release was in, like, I don't know, 2014. Am I wrong about that?
I'm trying to find it right now, and my computer is telling me, are you sure that you wouldn't rather search for something way cooler?
Yeah, something not dorky and lame.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, the archives. That's where we need to look. The last thing was in 2014. Natten med Levan Mintroll.
Oh, yeah. Weird. That's a good one.
Didn't we have one of the guys from this in the Sexiest Dude competition as well?
It was probably Varth or whatever.
Vreth. Yeah.
Vreth.
That's a. It's a Legolas looking motherfucker.
Good looking feller. Yeah. Hey, I mean, it's some of the ladies like him long and slender.
Yeah, I mean, this entire... Well, I mean, it's not just this band. There's an entire subgenre devoted just to, like, making music specifically for people that, you know, devote their lives to going to the Renaissance Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, you ever had mead? Mead, yeah. It's like, it's got more alcohol in it than a beer. It's much more... Shut the fuck up.
Fuck up.
Never mead offer me mead.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's the worst drink on the market. And I've had Jägermeister. It's the worst.
I was at the Whole Foods the other day because I'm a baller. And like I was going to buy some
peaches.
Yeah, I was going to buy some beer, and you know, they had the sample stand set up, and this guy's like, "Hey man, do you want to try some local mead?" And I said, "Fuck you." no, I did not say.
And
that,
you, you rode away on your skateboard and really put your sunglasses on.
It sucked. Who else you got? Who are the other the gimmicks of the day?
Here are two ones that I remembered that I would suspect a lot of people have forgotten about: Hatebeak and Caninus.
Okay, I remember Hatebeak. That was the thing with like the parrot that was supposedly doing the vocals on top of it, right?
Yeah, yep. And Caninus was the same thing but with dogs.
Right, it was a growling Rottweiler that.
Yeah, and I think
did death metal.
Yeah, I think like someone from Walls of Jericho was involved. I might be mistaken. But yeah, two animal-based bands that came out around the same time and then disappeared forever.
Hate Beak has its own Wikipedia page.
Oh, that guy's fucking lame. Why do people share this stuff?
The band features Waldo, a gray parrot born in 1991, who is the vocalist. They never tour, so as not to torture the bird. The band split up in 2009, but reunited in 2015.
How can you reunite a bird?
I've heard
what
this.
What is that?
I've heard this before, and it's not terribly good. Oh, they made their second record with Caninus.
Those legacy tours that they have now with 90s bands that can't possibly tour on their own, like Sugar Ray and like Smash Mouth and Everclear and like Tonic all tour together. Same thing.
What do they call that? Like loser tour?
They call it put the kids with the babysitter. We're getting drunk.
Right.
The first Hate Beak record was actually a split. It was the Beak of Putrefaction split released with Longmont Potion Castle. Do you guys know who that is?
No.
He's out
of my face with that.
He makes prank phone calls that are just extremely good and funny. I love Longmont Potion Castle. It doesn't make any sense that he would record. Well, he does occasionally like interlude tracks where he records his own music. I guess maybe that was a split with just his music instead of the actual funny thing that you're there to listen to him for. I don't know. Hate Beak, no damn good in my book.
Yeah. I mean, take it back to Grindmother. I saw that shit way too much. Way too much from like people sharing it from YouTube, blogs. It made the rounds so much. And everybody had the same stupid ass clickbaity headline where it was like, you know, what was it? A 74-year-old grandmother is death metal vocalist. Check it out. Why do you do this to me? Like, maybe I hate fun. Maybe that's the problem.
Everyone likes a good freak show. That's why. It's like why William Hung from American Idol was able to put out multiple albums, because everyone likes to slow down to see the car wreck, point and laugh, and then move on with their life.
Was it multiple?
I'm almost positive. Yeah, I think he had a Christmas album.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Surely at least a Christmas record.
I feel like if you had the success of being terrible, you could ruin it by using that money to train and become good. So maybe I'll take a listen to some of his later albums. Maybe he's upped his chops.
You know, I feel like we like to think that we can all be better with training and stuff, but some people can't. So I don't think that's going to work.
Mm. People didn't like him because he was good. They liked him because he was bad.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you become less bad, then what's the point at all?
Exactly. But I'm talking about maybe that potentially ruined his career, is that he started becoming a better singer. And then it lost the magic.
I think
I'm going to guess not.
Most likely scenario is that we as humans crave novelty and distraction, like, more than anything. So once you've heard like 15 seconds of William Hung and made sure that your coworker pulled off his headphones so that you could tell him about it, they had enough of it.
Yeah, well, it makes you feel better about yourself. It's like, I got my problems, but at least I'm not that.
Just as an aside here, if you work in an office setting, could you do me a favor and not make your coworker pull off his headphones when he's clearly working so you can tell him about whatever dumb bullshit you're seeing on the internet? That'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, he's seen it. He's already seen it.
He's incredibly online, I promise you that.
That's why he's got his headphones on, because he doesn't want to deal with the bullshit you guys are saying out loud.
I guess to a larger point, though, like you hit on it a little bit with the Misfits, but part of metal is that it's all a little bit kind of a novelty. And I think that we kind of have to question, like, where does it go over the line where, like, this is just clearly a one-trick pony that is not worth the click?
Man, I think that they do that shit too much with extreme metal specifically. Like, black metal, if I see one more fucking black metal cover of anything, I'm gonna quit the internet. It's like, oh, black metal cover of Toto, you guys, let me share it with everybody. Don't worry, everybody. There's a black metal cover of Toto. We're fucking Loudwire. We're the worst. Everybody who reads Loudwire should be shot in the face or dragged from their home and had their throats slit in front of their fucking screaming mother. Hate that shit.
You gotta get off the blogosphere, man. It's poison.
It's killing me. Slowly and surely. Why do they do this to me?
Because people will click and share it.
Yeah. I will say this about the Toilet Hell Social Club. Like, even though it's full of, you know, awful people, at least nobody shares that shit.
Yes. You are good people listening. You were in the right. I'm not talking about you guys. I know y'all. You know, you don't post that shit on my feed.
I'm going to start doing that with you guys. I'm just going to troll Blabbermouth every day and post it on your walls on Facebook.
You're a piece of shit, Joe.
I know. Yeah, but I mean, I guess there's a big difference between, like, this band performs all in hoods and writes songs about how they want to die compared to, like, this song is fronted by a geriatric that, you know, it's clearly silly that she has any interest in this obscure subgenre of music.
Yeah, there's layers of gimmickry. It's, you know, from wearing corpse paint and dressing in all black to, like, dressing up like McDonald's characters and covering Black Sabbath songs. It's a wide range of things. Even entire metal genres really are gimmicks, like pirate metal bands or Viking metal or beer metal.
Ugh. Awful, all of them. Also, like, is there more than two pirate bands? I can think of one.
There's Ailstorm, right, which is the big one. There was Swashbuckle.
Ugh.
There was Swashbuckle. I'm blanking on the name. I did a review of them.
Scurvy.
It's like, yeah, there's from Scurvy.
Yeah.
Shipwreck AD.
Jesus Christ.
there's like the
Running
like
Wild.
The Odd Crew, something or other. It's a really long name.
Running Wild was abandoned like in the 70s. They're so old. But they were killing it with them power metal riffs long before any of these chumps came around and started swapping the poop deck.
It just goes to show that if you have one maybe somewhat original idea in metal, 4,000 other people are going to do it too. Oh yeah, so like Gwar. Gwar is a gimmick band, but they're good. I like them. Gwar's awesome.
Yeah, but they're fun.
Nobody sounds like Gwar. It's interesting. They have this wholly original music, and then they have this amazing gimmick to go along with it, and this ridiculous stage show. So
Ghoul is also good. They're kind of like Junior Gwar, though.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really.
It's like a thrashier, slightly heavier version, but they do the dismemberment and getting blood on people sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you get a chance, go check out their show. It's a lot of fun. It's not like, it'll be way cheaper than going to see Gwar at whatever, you know, big hall that they're at. You know, it's a good time.
I think Ghoul followed me and then subsequently unfollowed me, so that's not going to happen. It's not going to fucking happen, Ghoul.
You blew it, Ghoul.
You fucked up.
I think those guys are a little bit older too, so maybe they're just getting the hang of how to do the social media thing, which is you follow an influential metal person like ourselves, and then as soon as they follow you, you immediately unfollow, keep your numbers looking pristine.
Yep.
Oh, sons of bitches.
I don't know. What else could be kind of like on the line between legit and gimmicky? What are you thinking?
I mean, there's Rob Zombie.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think he's self-aware, too. Like, he's done tours where he's just like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm just wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Really?
Yeah, I actually saw him. He played Ozfest, like, in 2005.
Oh, yeah.
It was a jeans and t-shirt, like, performance. And when I saw him, he was funny as hell. He was goofing on people the whole time. Like, there was someone in the front row, like, wearing all black, and he called him Count Chocula. So, like, you know, he knows who he is, and, like, you know, he likes the dressing up and saying, yeah, 100 times, but I think he kind of, he knows when he doesn't want to do it, too.
Yeah, he's like a, he's usually a pretty dressed down kind of guy, jeans and t-shirt, like you said.
I think a lot of people if I went and saw Rob Zombie and he wasn't wearing the whole Battlefield Earth getup.
Yeah, this was also on, like, second stage Ozfest, so, like, why bother?
oh, hey, second stage is still cool. I think everybody has this picture in their head of the cover of Hillbilly Deluxe, or Hellbilly Deluxe, I should say. And they go to the show thinking that's who Rob Zombie is. And nope, he's just a dude.
Yeah, he's the chud that made 31. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie yet, but fuck, that's one of the worst movies I've ever seen, actually.
You've seen one Rob Zombie movie. I kind of feel like you've seen them all.
I like The Devil's Rejects. I think that's a pretty good movie. House of a Thousand Corpses is okay. I don't know. You know what? I take it back. I think that they're good movies, but only if you've never seen The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Because I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, what the fuck? He just completely ripped all that off.
Oh, but that's a good one. You got the sheriff with the dueling chainsaw. That's a sick movie.
It really is.
But I remember there was like an advanced screening for 31 that I was at some horror convention, and I just didn't go see it because who's got the time, you know?
Yeah, you had to get the autograph of...
Bill Anselmo.
Oh, right.
It's way more important.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Yeah. Nice guy, by the way.
That's what I hear. You know, if you're white.
Yeah. Did you have to pay for the autograph and all that?
Yeah, it was one of those things where you have to stand in the line and go see him, and his line was non-existent. So
he better be nice to you.
So he better be nice to me. I didn't buy a Scour album, you know, but...
I've been watching that the Joe Bob Briggs marathon that Shudder did. And I'm kind of really into the idea of these the horror conventions where, like, these people that were in, you know, one movie when they were in their teens, like, they show up and they do 400 of these things a year and... I don't. What is it? You pay $5 and you get an autograph from them, or
it's not. You wish it was $5.
I wish.
Some of these are absurdly expensive.
It's worth $5. I don't. Yeah. I think I just paid like $20 to get a picture with them. I honestly didn't even like get an autograph. I just had this really blurry photo.
Yeah, a lot of them will charge you separately for a picture and for an autograph, and they like you think you'd be like, oh, I'll pay $20 to get a picture with this ex wrestler or something like that, and it's like $50. Sometimes it's over $100. It's ridiculous now.
Yeah,
that blows my mind, dude. Like, I can't fathom doing that. Like, who is worth $100 to get a picture with him?
Stan Lee. I'm saying that as someone who got a picture with Stan Lee.
Yeah. With his at this convention, they had Matthew Lillard, who, for those who don't know, he was the SLC Punk actor and also Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. You know, a little more famous for the latter, I suppose. But, you know, we came up, he was drunk off his ass, sweetest dude, and we paid for the autograph, but he was like, all right, come on, let's get a picture. And we're like, oh, we didn't pay for it, Matt. And he's like, I don't give a shit. So that was fun, but I digress. We're digressing.
I assume he was flush with that Scooby-Doo money then, if he wasn't desperate for the, like, man, I feel like you got to be hard up as shit, like, if you got to charge somebody for a photograph with you.
No, I think it's just the way business is done now, and, you know, there's an audience for some people. It's a way of life. Like, yeah, like Xander from Buffy, like, goes to 400 of these a year, but...
Well, yeah, he's not making money anywhere else. No.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these people, like, that. This is the only way they make money. Other people, they'll do the big convention, San Diego, Boston, New York, a couple other places, and they'll just make a big chunk of money on the side for, you know, half a day's work of sitting around signing
that
their picture.
Is my fucking dream. I want to do something, some flash-in-the-pan bullshit, that will make me famous enough for life that I can just go gray and boring to random convention centers around the country and just get a cheesy picture with a bunch of fans in a line.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Let's go to Maryland Death Fest, bring our own table. Yes. We'll set it up right in line, get your picture with the guys from Toilet of Hell and see what happens.
I bet a couple of people would try to punch us.
Probably.
At Maryland Death Fest specifically? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're apparently the no fun club. Sorry for making you think about maybe not listening to a Nazi.
Sorry you keep booking Nazi bands, Maryland Death Fest.
Yeah. We'll try to Migration Fest next year or something.
Yeah, that would be fun. Apparently everybody we know went there.
Right,
bastards. Yeah. Get to see all the pictures and everyone's happy together. I'm like, I have no idea who these people are. Oh, okay, there's their Twitter name. There's their avatar. That's who that is.
Right.
Our little boy, the Leif Berikson, he went there too.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of good boys and ladies went there. It's like, I don't want to be the next person that shows up in one of those group photos revealing exactly how fat or short I am. I'm not so brave, but maybe one day. Maybe one day if I get the nice, decked out, you know, big boy look. Like, what's it, Nate Garnett from Skeleton Witch. I got to get the big armbands or something. Make myself look cool first.
Yeah. I mean, like, you gotta work on powerlifting. That way, you know, you maintain your size, but you just swole as shit with it.
Yeah, every time I stand up, it's a power lift.
Hey! Well, if you guys want to come meet us and hang out, get your photo taken, we're going to be at FET in Providence. The Tattoo and New Metal Convention, so come on out and say hi. Photos are going to be $45.
Yeah, come get a tattoo of Brennaside. It's free to get a picture of my face to use for a tattoo, but only if you do that.
Yep. Did we learn anything this week?
I think we need to talk about one more gimmick band before we shut it down this week.
Yeah. What do you got?
Please.
Steel Panther.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Did we have to?
Yes.
God damn it.
Okay, so out of all the gimmick bands we've talked about, this is far and away the most successful.
Yes, absolutely. If you're successful enough to get kicked out of a Disney park, you know, for what you did, then, you know, you got it. You got it made.
So, what is the appeal other than, like, just most people have no taste?
Well, they're just essentially a Poison parody band.
Right.
From my understanding, they're just dudes who work out and tan, and they just put on the big stupid wigs and the stupid makeup and like the leopard print pants, tight spandex, all that stuff. And then they just play like Weird Al songs, but offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird Al, to his credit, like he never like went dirty.
You know? No, he doesn't need to curse to have a good time.
Yeah. And normally I would call somebody a fucking nerd for doing that. But Weird Al is special because he made UHF.
Yeah, right. Al's a nerd, but like he's the nerd. He's yes. The greatest.
I guess that like a lot of people, they see a band that sounds familiar to something that they've heard on the radio before, except that the lyrics are all like, "I fucked you because you're an Asian slut, and it's funny that you don't talk the same way as me, and your eyes are slanted," and they're like, "Fuck yeah, finally somebody's singing what I'm thinking." it's like they're speaking from my heart.
Take Madonna too and fuck her in the butt. It's a classic. It's poetry.
I wrote that thing last week, and by the way, I banned everybody that commented with "Is this metal sucks?" By the way, I ban everybody that does that. Yeah, the quickest way to get banned on Toilet of Hell is either to like drop some hard slurs or say, "Is this turning into metal sucks? Fuck you, you piece of shit. Make something of your own." Yeah, the cool thing about Steel Panther is that they were releasing a super shitty tone print, which was explained to me, yes. TC Electronics. They've got this big pedal board. They have dudes come in when they're in town, fiddle around with the knobs, decide on a tone selection, and then they release that as a pedal. That got canceled after they people complained about the stupid name that the stupid band put out for it, the Pussy Melter. And then some fly-by-night pedal company called It's Electric put out a completely different pedal under the same name, which is just the shittiest distortion that I've ever heard. Your Boss DS1 is going to be way better than that. So yeah. They're charging $200 for it. If you're a Steel Panther fan, you absolutely deserve to pay that much for that shitty pedal.
But does this pedal company have any affiliation with Steel Panther? Are they making it for them, or is this just them, you know, copying off the news?
Oh yeah, yeah. So Steel Panther signed with them to put out a different piece of shit pedal.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, from what I understand, this whole tone print thing, I have one of those TC Electronic pedals. Very, very nice company.
I've got the Hall of Fame Reverb by TC Electronics. Yeah. I think it's very nice. I think it's a good
pedal. Hey, whoa. Hey, come on. Let's get that TC Electronic money.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, that's a piece of shit. Piece of shit.
I gotcha. I knew I'd get you one day, Joe. I guess how it works is you have a delay pedal that anybody can buy, like the Flashback or something. And you can download from a mobile app what Steel Panther's settings would be for that delay pedal. And they just named those delay pedal settings the Pussy Melter. That's all that was.
I thought that was they were releasing entire pedal and they just got canceled.
Nope, it was a tone print that was available for download. But all it is that it beams... It just beams the settings that he used for his delay pedal, his TC Electronic Flashback or whatever. All it was the settings. A lot of people were saying that like, oh, a pedal got canceled or there was a pedal called this, but it was just like a TC Electronic Flashback with a certain way to dial the fucking knobs.
Gotcha.
He called it the Pussy Melter.
Well, they did actually get somebody to release a physical pedal called the Pussy Melter. And it sucks.
It sucks.
Jordan, yes. I feel like you had something that you wanted to contribute to this Steel Panther discussion.
Oh, no. I just want to make sure everyone knows that we hate their guts.
Yeah, fuck Steel Panther. That's the official toilet byline on that.
That's our new t-shirt.
Yeah, their music isn't good.
Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I overplayed my hand with this Tim Allen thing. I don't think those t-shirts are getting printed.
No, you don't think so?
No, the legal department at that represent thing sent me an email and they're definitely not into it.
Wait, so who sent you an email? Was it the Justice Department that took the picture?
No, it was the service that I was using to print the Tim Allen t-shirts. They emailed me, their legal department emailed me, and they were like, this is clearly a reference to Tim Allen. We need you to get like permission from Tim Allen or his management to use
which
this.
Which isn't true.
Yeah, no, I replied back with all of the legal mumbo jumbo that should absolve us, but I don't think that they're gonna. I don't know what's gonna happen. I also ask him, like, are you gonna print those or refund the people or what the fuck?
Yeah, I think you should find who prints the Acacia Strange t-shirts.
Because then I think you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Put it on whatever Cafe Press or something.
Yeah, it'll just be like a Mickey Mouse logo and then just Acacia Strain on top of it. They don't even give a fuck.
So, folks, if you ordered one of these shirts, I don't know if they're printing them or not. If they don't print them, they will refund you. I will make sure of that. But they have been super unhelpful in not replying to my emails. If they don't print them, you'll get refunded. And then what I'm going to do is print them myself. My friend has one of those screen print things in his garage, so we'll make it happen.
Yeah, it has to happen. We will go through the effort. It just must be.
Yeah, I'm not going to let Tim Allen pull one over on me. That canny dog rapist. Well, that's all I've got for this week. Do you guys have anything else?
No, I think the best way to close is with a Tim Allen dog fucking joke. So we'll just put a cap in it.
Yep. You guys know where to follow us on the Twitter and the Facebook and everywhere like that. Well, we love you. Bye.
Keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
I'm running out of time, and I don't want to spend
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.